A lot of people out and about over the weekend, including outside of the University of Pittsburgh's campus on the Schenley Plaza lawn. And Paul, so it resulted at the end of the day two arrests. So what happened was the protesters wanted to move onto the campus on the lawn in front of the cathedral, and the University of Pittsburgh police did not allow them to set up a tent, correct?
Right, that's what happened. And two of them were arrested for trespassing.
And
I guess there was a standing agreement that that would not happen, that they would stay over in Schenley Plaza.
So now that Pitt's semester's over, graduation is done, now what? Where do they go?
Yeah, how much longer do they want to stay there and protest for now the school's out? That's a good question.
So I suppose we'll find out today, and we'll continue to keep you updated. And around the nation with the latest, CBS's Anne Marie Green.
The anti-war protests on college campuses show no signs of slowing down, with more arrests over the weekend. At UCLA, fights broke out yesterday between pro-Israeli and pro-Palestinian demonstrators when a barrier meant to keep both sides apart was breached. There was some pushing and some shoving until campus police, armed with batons, separated the groups. CBS's Mark Strassman has the story.
All the clamor on campus keeps spreading, a clash of more than ideas. Riot gear at Ohio State. Tasers at Emory University in Atlanta. Mostly pro-Palestinian protesters, at times scuffling with police, waved on by school administrators, with hundreds of arrests. Communities like the University of Texas turning on each other. Israel's war on Hamas has another front line. A free speech and hate speech campus debate that's anything but academic.
If you want to protect free speech, then you don't break up peaceful protests.
People didn't seem to be aware of how bad the situation for free speech and academic freedom already was on campus until October 7th.
Greg Lukianoff of the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression, a group defending the right to free speech.
Do you have the sense that any of this is moving the ball forward?
Some of the ways the protest has been going on college campuses has been alienating more of the public than bringing it in.
On Columbia University's West Lawn, civil disobedience, this ongoing tent city, galvanized national protests. They want the university to divest investments in Israel and companies they say profit off repression of Palestinians. Dueling protests at Columbia, pro-Israel, pro-Palestinian, reflect a larger welter of opinion and emotion, passion, and perceived prejudice.
People would be up in arms and protesting that right away. But because it's the Jews, I feel like nobody cares.
All this coast-to-coast commotion is well into its second week. And what began here at Columbia has now rippled overseas.
From Paris to London, university students occupied buildings and marched in the streets. They're echoing this U.S. student movement. At times, a moment that's been unflattering, even dark, from intolerant protesters to stumbling universities.
A lot of campuses are teaching young people to think like activists and less like scholars. When you're reduced to just shouting at each other, that is a failure of some of the things that makes higher education so special.
Mark Strassman, CBS News, New York.
So where do we go from here? We'll find out at the university, but it's coming at a time when the universities are wrapping up. Graduations in some cases, like at USC, had to be canceled with their traditional graduation. Our own Tamira Rush from KDK Radio News has a son who's graduating USC, so it directly affected her plans too.
I wonder how much longer this can be sustained at any one of the campuses, but in particular here at Pitt. I mean, nothing's going to change, right?
Well, what they're asking for is the university to divest itself from any links, obviously, to the defense, to Israel, to the U.S.'s support, to from a practical standpoint,
it's not going to happen.
They did a story. For instance, a lot of the universities have investments, you know, endowment monies that they have invested into these, you know, hundreds of different companies that are part of a group, right? And they can't surgically go in and remove.
Exactly my point.
So, yeah. So is it, and the university hasn't really come out with an official statement on this, by the way. So I don't see that they're going to get what they want.
It's unlikely that they're going to be able to achieve anything here other than, you know, register their support for the Palestinians and their opposition to the Israeli campaign in Gaza.
So it's one thing, you know, free speech, and, you know, we've seen this scenario before. People can say what they want, but there are certain lines that they can't cross, and when they crossed that line yesterday, two people were arrested. So far, though, no violence here, but that's starting to change in other campuses around the country.
I think the comment that was made in the piece from CBS that you played that stood out to me was the gentleman who said that the students are being taught to be activists rather than scholars. And I think that in a large part is probably correct.
So we'll keep you posted what happens next on the Big K Morning Show. Getting ready for concert season. Tim McGraw was at PPG Paints over the weekend, Paul. And a bunch of bands at Yinzer Fest at the Convention Center.
The review I read about McGraw's concert was really upbeat. Thumbs up across the board.
Yeah, he's a major talent. And as we talked about on Friday, he's also an accomplished actor. He's been in a lot of good movies, too. So we got, Kenny Chesney's coming back to Acrisure. He loves coming to Pittsburgh. And the Rolling Stones just kicked off their tour in Houston over the weekend. And it looks like, you know, they're back out doing their thing as they approach, well, they're in the 80s now. So I imagine, you know, Mick Jagger said when he was really young, they have a famous interview where he said he didn't know if he'd be rocking and rolling when he turns 40. I mean, come on, man. The guy is 80 years old and still in fantastic shape. There's another big show. This is new. It's called Sudden Little Thrills Music Festival at Hazelwood Green. That's late in the summer, September 7th and 8th, but we already are giving a pair of tickets away. 412-922-1020. Caller number 7 will give you a pair of tickets. It features The Killers, Pittsburgh's own Wiz Khalifa, and a whole all-star lineup. So get your tickets for the Little Thrills Music Fest at Hazelwood Green from News Radio KDKA. Do you ever watch CBS Sunday Morning?
No, I don't. I've discontinued watching, Larry, pretty much all network news programs.
Well, they had a story about former network news anchor Dan Rather on CBS. Here's Matt Piper.
It has been 18 years since veteran journalist and former CBS Evening News anchor Dan Rather left the network. For the first time since, he was back.
It's the only thing I ever wanted to be was a reporter. And I get up every morning, and as soon as my feet hit the ground, I say, where's the story?
Rather departed after a discredited story about President George W. Bush's military service. The 92-year-old appeared on CBS Sunday Morning to reflect on his career and the state of journalism today.
The people who are practicing journalism today are so much better than those of us who came up at another time. They're better educated. They're more knowledgeable about the world. They want to do the right thing. They're doing the best they can.
Dan Rather, 92. Who's starting to sound like he's aged. I know he's worked for Mark Cuban, obviously the Mount Lebanon billionaire, for his digital channel for many years to do interviews.
Axis, right? AXS.
Yes. Yeah. Which a lot of people probably aren't aware that Mark Cuban owns it. But he hired Dan Rather. But I didn't realize it's been 18 years since he's been on CBS. Interesting, though, that he would say that the younger journalists are better prepared than of his time to do their job. There's probably some people that would argue with that.
I'm one of them.
I figured, Raz.
Yep.
Big story over the weekend is the Steelers draft, right?
Outstanding.
I think it was a really terrific diversion starting on Thursday night and continuing through the weekend. They had their draft party at Acrisure Stadium. The weather turned out to be really nice during the day, and they had a big fan turnout. What's cool about that is the fans get to interact with a bunch of alumni. Then they bring the picks in to meet the fans face-to-face. And the Steelers' number one pick, Troy Fuatano, is loving this city. I've seen videos of him. They've taken the poor guy everywhere, right? He's been top of the mountain, Mount Washington, down along the rivers.
What a huge change for a young man who grew up in Nevada. Henderson is where he's from, and then went to school up in the Pacific Northwest in Seattle, which is a completely different feel than what we have here in Western Pennsylvania. It's lovely here. When people visit me who've never been here before, they all comment on how surprised they were at what a really beautiful city this is.
Yeah, that's so true, the reaction. I mean, we have a tendency, especially if you were born here, to kind of take things for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that, because that happens to people that live at the beach that don't go to the beach. They're like, what do you mean?
I remember Franco Harris talking about when he was drafted and he came to the city and went through the tunnel, and there's the great spectacle in front of you with the downtown skyline. And back then, that was in the 70s, not nearly as beautiful as it is now. I had the same reaction when I got here. And then, you know, my interview dinner was at Lamont in the evening with a great view of the downtown area. I lived downtown for the first 5 years I was here and loved it.
Well, times have changed. Now the interview dinners are at Burger King. So you were lucky. In the meantime, the second pick for the Steelers is a center, Zach Frazier, from West Virginia University. And from our brother station, Adam Crawley's a huge WVU fan, went there. This guy is over the moon about it, and I'm going to ask him what he thinks. I think you'll love his take. Coming up, Pittsburgh Steelers getting high praise for their picks, and one pick in particular has a lot of people very excited that went to I love how, Paul, you'll love this. I saw local stations, who I will not identify, already telling people about how to deal with heat.
So in other words, people need to be told to get inside and take advantage of air conditioning and shade, or maybe turn on a fan, right?
Please hydrate if you're going to be out.
Nonsense.
It's April 29th. Wear light clothing, SPF if you're going out in the sun. Yeah, all that stuff.
Pretty soon they'll be giving us instructions on how to breathe.
Oh, don't worry. That's coming. Meanwhile, the Steelers picks have been very popular with, experts around the country.
Baldinger, for example, on CBS was quoted as saying that he thought the Steelers won the draft.
Yeah, Mel Kiper said he thought we were 3 out of 32, which is really good. Bottom line is, it looks exciting for the fans. And the number two pick is a guy named Zach Frazier, who is a WVU Mountaineer. And so our brother station, 93.7 The Fan, and he's a big fan because he went there, is Adam Crawley, who hosts with Doran Dickerson, the pit guy. So because they picked a West Virginia, wait till you hear. So, Adam, I know you are pumped up beyond excitement.
I am jacked up, Larry. Thank you for having me on. When they were getting to pick 51, I mean, shoot, when you get to 44, 45, I'm thinking, all right, who needs a center? Who might try to move up? Is there anybody between 44 and 51 who needs one? And you don't have to see a team move up. But I thought if they got to 51 and Zach Frazier, the center from West Virginia, would be on the board, he made a lot of sense. It was one of the best offensive lines in the country last year. They led the Power 5 in rushing. Normally, against teams and defensive linemen that you would call double teams for, they didn't have to. They just said, Zach, you got this guy. People mover, nice kid, 5-year player, freshman All-American. I think the Steelers got a stud.
That's what a lot of people seem to think. So tell us more about Zach Frazier. I know his number is 6'2", 313 pounds, but he really seems like he fits a new Steeler mold.
No doubt about that. And he was a wrestler in high school, a state champion at Fairmont. He was a polar bear, which I think is one of the best nicknames you could possibly have, because that's kind of what he is, a polar bear. Big, strong, gets out on the edge. They'll pull him. At least they did in college. Like I said, guys that you would typically need to double team, didn't need to do that with him. Smart guy. He also has a family member who is deaf. And this is a story that I heard this weekend. I went to the West Virginia spring game. He went to West Virginia's athletic department in the social media side and said, hey, all these videos that you put out, I'd like for my, I think it's his cousin, to be able to watch these videos and know a little bit more what's going on. So West Virginia's social media team adopted using closed captioning on all their videos. Just a really, really good guy. And he came in and had to play right away because of the state of things his freshman year. And I think it was the best thing to happen for him. Like I said, a freshman All-American, a good player as a freshman, but where he was then versus where he was at the end, night and day. And I think he is day one capable. Even if the Steelers had a guy, even if they had Mason Cole on their roster, a starting capable center, I still think Zach Frazier's a guy that could push for playing time day one.
You sound like you might be excited about this.
Very excited. Very excited.
It's been a while since we've had a Mountaineer in black and gold.
It has been.
It's been a few.
It has been. Carl Joseph was here for a little bit, the safety. They brought him in. He didn't work out in Oakland, as players tend not to. So they had him. I'm trying to think of some other guys. Not a ton of late. And, boy, you got to like what they did in the draft overall. They go with the big hogs the first couple of rounds. They get three offensive linemen. I think both their first two picks should be able to start day one. We'll see if they let them.
So how did this go over when you were down there in Morgantown? I would imagine fans are pretty excited about it.
No question about it. And for Zach Frazier, just personally, you think about it, he's from Fairmont. So he takes a 20-minute trip, plays his college ball in Morgantown, and now you hop on 79, depending on how fast you go, Larry, could be here in an hour. So I'm guessing a lot of Fairmont folks are going to be attending Steelers games this year. But, yeah, the buzz at the spring game was pretty cool.
I'm going to predict there'll be more fans at Latrobe's summer camp than ever before, just because of all the things the Steelers have managed to do, the offseason signings now with the draft. So here we go, Adam.
Here we go. And one more guy, Beanie Bishop, who was an All-American corner this year for West Virginia. They brought in as an undrafted free agent. He fits a position of need. I think he's going to fight to make this roster and might have a pretty good chance. Broke up 20 passes this year that led the country. All-American, had four interceptions. 5'9", he played on the outside. They're probably going to play him on the inside. I think he's got a shot, too.
From 93.7, yeah. The Fan, our brother station, Adam Crowley with Scorin Doran, who has to wear a West Virginia shirt today. Although you picked a good one. It says
beat Penn State. So if Pitt fans and West Virginia fans can agree on one thing, I think it's that.
Adam, thanks, brother.
Thank you, Larry.
They are fired up at Morgantown for this young man. Big dude. Zach Frazier.
Have you heard anyone who has anything other than good things to say about the Steelers draft?
No. Normally, you know, you hear the typical, because the sports guys, they have the latitude and ability just to say anything, right? Just to get people on the phones and create a little angst and controversy. And I haven't heard any negative things at all about what the Steelers have done. So that'll be our theme this morning. We got our own Jeff Hathorn coming up, Bob Pompeiani in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll get their thoughts too.
I'd like you to ask both of them, and when you get to talk with them, about this selection that they got, this offensive lineman from South Dakota, the Jackrabbit, South Dakota State.
Oh, I've seen videos of him over the weekend.
He's
fired up.
Yeah, I backed it up and watched it again.
Yeah, everyone they've picked, you go, yeah, I like this. So here we go. Download the free Odyssey app, AUDACY. Take us with you wherever you go. We'll keep you posted. Breaking news and weather information, too. And deadly tornadoes in Oklahoma. You know, with this warm weather, you know, we had just a few days ago a frost, Paul, and then you have where the cold meets the warm is usually that kicks up this severe weather.
Sulphur, Oklahoma, was particularly hard hit. A lot of destruction there. A lot of roofs off buildings.
Yeah, I saw the videos of it is unimaginable. And we've certainly had some tornadoes here, but we don't have nearly the frequency or the intensity typically that they do in Tornado Alley. Although it's been suggested that that is moving slowly to the east with the climate warming up. So we go from frost to mid-80s in a matter of a few days here.
Big swings.
Yeah.
And lots of extremes now.
CBS's Omar Villafranco is just outside of Oklahoma City.
Large tornado confirmed on the ground, moving north just south of Sulphur.
Violent storms ravaged Oklahoma, the small city of Sulphur, devastated after taking a direct hit.
All of downtown Sulphur is destroyed.
At sunrise, the widespread damage revealed. The tornado shredding buildings, turning them into piles of metal and brick. 19-year-old Addie Gordon was helping out at the local steakhouse when she heard sirens and ran for cover.
As we're running through the building to get down to that basement, the glass is all shattering out of the windows, and it's just like a bomb went off.
At any point, were you scared?
Oh, I screamed. I thought I was going to pee myself.
It's so much worse in person. Just so hard to wrap your mind around.
Dana Vanderver and Donna Lewis's business was wiped out one day after the store's grand opening.
It's too soon to even think about it, really. Don't know what we'll do.
Dozens of tornadoes ripped through the plains this weekend, impacting millions. In the city of Marietta, near the Texas-Oklahoma border, a tornado carved a canyon through this Dollar Tree warehouse.
The preliminary report from the National Weather Service says this was an EF3 tornado. That means wind speeds of at least 136 miles per hour. 12 counties here in Oklahoma are under a state of emergency, and residents say cleanup here could take weeks. Omar Villafranca, CBS News, Sulphur, Oklahoma.
Yeah, and as we get ready for the month of May, Paul, typically you get, especially when there's this cold and warm mismatch, is when you get the most severe outbreaks of tornadoes. They were pretty much unheard of where you grew up, right, in Montana?
Yes, almost never.
We used to average in the state of Pennsylvania about 9 tornadoes a year, but that has increased in the last couple of years. So, and then the next thing will be, you'll be talking about tropical weather, anticipating, you know, as the waters warm up in the Atlantic and the Gulf, tornado or hurricane season begins.
What I'm looking at for May in terms of averages in Pittsburgh says the daily high temperature ranges from 68 to 76 degrees and rarely falling below 55. So what we're getting to start off with is way above average.
Yeah, we've had a series of extremes. And don't forget, a record amount of rain to kick off the month of April, too. But I swear to you, I have a tree in the front yard. In a week, it went from just buds and no green, and boom.
Poof, yep.
It's like magic, right?
Same thing's going on in my neighborhood.
It's like the springtime. And then on top of that, have you seen the dust of pollen? Maybe on top of your car if you park outside? I saw last week, it looked like a dust, like the golden dust.
Yeah, yellowish-green haze.
Yeah, and the people that deal with allergies are struggling right now, as I understand. So, 85 today. And right now we're at 62 degrees at the airport. We still there?
Yep.
Paul's my, Marty used to laugh. I'd confirm with Paul today. Paul, we're still at 62.
And then he wanted me at one point to tell you to get your own damn temperature, to quote him directly.
Yes. Understood.